Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies show with me, Tim Goodings.
Can I address that?
What?
You just said the name of the podcast correct for the very first time.
I'm glad you noticed.
Well, how did this happen?
Speech.
Because usually I introduce the show
because
as the Talking... Have we Freaky Friday'd?
Well, I don't know. I went to a speech therapist. What happened to you?
I didn't.
Oh, then we have, because you normally go every week.
Oh.
And that's how you're able to keep saying the stupid name of our podcast.
Let me try again.
Talking?
Talking Movies, Pictures, Movie Show. Okay, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Oh, that was close.
So from now on, we'll dispense with that annoying bit and I'll be able to say the name of the show all the time.
Yes, please.
Welcome
to the show.
Welcome. Thank you
Number
for coming.
Week. We got the
Glad
movies
you can
news.
Make it. What's the
got
traffic
the movies,
bad?
Trailers.
How was the traffic?
Music reviews.
Oh, which route did you
terrible,
take?
Terrible, actually. I got caught in talk a...
Talking to the listener. Which route did you take?
I took the A30. Okay, sorry.
What were the services like?
Didn't have a little
Petrol's
chef.
Petrol's expensive, isn't it?
Oh, God, telling me.
And Marvel news.
Okay.
Now, I... okay, so this is something which... You won't be able to... work out what the Marvel news is until the end of this episode, because what I did is I took the Marvel news and I went to see that film from a couple of years ago called The Imitation Game.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'll imitation that because he does a code breaking in it from the Enigma machine. So I took apart all the Marvel news, spread it up into individual letters, and I sprinkled it into the interview with Joe Sutherland.
Yeah.
And so if you notice, the first letter of every question that we ask, and you'll know this, Andy, because obviously we had to script the questions very heavily for this to work,
yeah,
spells out the Marvel news for this episode.
That's great. So this is no longer just a podcast. This is a podcast puzzle.
If it ever was. Yeah, podcast puzzle.
Podcast puzzle. Oh, lovely. So that's how you get the Marvel news this week.
Only by the time you get to the end of the episode and you're certain that we've collectively...
Are you sure there is some, though? Because I know sometimes you've struggled, you've missed the
press
release.
Well, Andy, if... I don't start this, okay? When I wrote out the questions, okay, for the interview,
yeah,
which I just hope that we ask the right questions when we get there. But when I wrote out the questions, did you not see the Marvel news written in acrostic from the formatting of the page?
Yes,
you did. So you know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it's not fair for us to just impart that news as though it's like free.
Yeah, because like
the
we're
podcast
working
is free anyway.
Exactly, we're working to provide this form of entertainment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The listener's just listening.
Yeah.
Come on.
So
pull your finger
put
out.
Put something. And put something into it because I put a lot of work into coding. Now, you decoding, listeners.
Yeah.
And then you get the Marvel news.
Exactly. And it'll feel earned. So, if anything, you'll feel better about the knowledge.
And look, maybe by the time it's reached you, because of when we, you know, when you listen and because of how we get our news, you will have already read it on empireonline.com.
Or read it.
Reddit on Reddit. Oh, yeah. I get it. Okay, what's next?
So I was looking at our regular source of news, Cinema Blend, Reuters, for film news.
Yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
News, yeah.
No, the like when something's like Cinema the Reuters, Blend. Like the news agency, but it's for films. It's not Reuters. About regular news.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I went on Cinema Blend.
I can say the name of the podcast now, so there's nothing I can't do.
Oh, lovely. So the news this week is that The Edge of Tomorrow 2 okay, has a title, and we should have seen it coming. That's what the Cinema Blend...
Now, listeners, long-time listeners... We'll remember that we covered this news story a while ago because...
Aren't they all long-time listeners? I can't imagine we've picked up any more since the first episode or lost any.
I can't imagine we've picked up any more, no. Certainly.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Yeah.
But we covered this when the sequel was first announced because of the success of the original film, which, as you recall, was Groundhog Day with Guns.
Yes.
And Emily Blunt, because she wasn't in Groundhog Day.
No.
So they added that.
Introducing Emily Blunt.
And also Aliens, because that wasn't in Groundhog Day, because the groundhogs are real.
But Tom Cruise was.
Tom Cruise was in it. He was Ned Ryerson.
Yes, absolutely. So The Edge of Tomorrow 2 has got a sequel name, and we should have seen it coming. Do you want to know what it is?
Announcement time.
Have you seen
Ring
it?
Ring the announcement bell. Ding. Oh, that sounds maudlin.
It does, doesn't it? I'm sad. But not anymore, because they've announced the name of the sequel to The Edge of Tomorrow 2. Do you want to know what it is?
And now I'm happy again.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the name
Ring
of the Edge
bell.
Of... Ding!
Lovely stuff. All right.
Horrible.
Do you want to know what the Edge of Tomorrow 2 sequel
I
is called?
I don't give a fuck, Andy, but the listener wants to know.
All right, fine. I'll just tell the listener then.
What is it?
It is Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die.
Oh, we should say that... Oh. The Edge of Tomorrow, in certain areas, it was called, but in others,
even know
it was called.
If it was called Live, Die, Repeat or Edge of Tomorrow,
yes.
I honestly didn't know.
I think it was different in different places.
I think on the poster and when they sold the DVD, it was called Live, Die, Repeat.
Exactly. So, Live, Die, Repeat, so the sequel's called Live, Die,
Live, Die,
Repeat,
Live, Die,
and Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat. So, you repeat Live, Die, and then you repeat Live, Die, Repeat, or you repeat. Which bit am I saying again?
I'm not sure. It's not clear from this press release.
Say it again.
Live, Die, Repeat,
live,
and
die.
Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat. So it's Live, Die, Live, Die, Repeat.
I think it's Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Rinse?
If you want. Okay. I had a shower this morning, but...
And who's in it?
Tom Cruise.
Ah, so it's like Groundhog Day.
It's kind of like Groundhog Day, but with guns. And Emily Blunt.
Oh, so it's like Edge of Tomorrow, then?
No, it's like Live, Die, Repeat. All right, so we've got a trailer to look at as well.
Oh, do you remember, Andy, that about months ago, we used to do trailer reviews?
Yeah, it was about months ago. Yes, we did do some trailer reviews, so but there hasn't been any since.
But?
Run out. Back on Cinema
cyclical.
Blend.
Cyclical. Fashion is cyclical.
They've got...
So
trailers.
We now fashion's back in fashion to do trailer reviews again.
So this is interesting because Cinema Blend have written the headline here: "Final Wonder Woman trailer offers a young Diana and what the movie is actually about." So I mean, grammatically, that's not great. But I'm curious. I didn't realise they were going to have.
Can I workshop that title?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Final Wonder Woman trailer offers a young Diana and story.
So young Diana is, I mean, I don't know Wonder Woman that much, but I didn't realise that Princess Diana, Princess of Wales,
she's the princess of, it's Diana Spencer, I think what we've been led to believe up until this trailer is it's about the comic book character Wonder Woman.
Right.
But then if we watch the trailer, you see, hold on, that's different. This is a wonderful woman, Queen of Hearts. But we learn that, and they have the same first name. Diana.
Right, so this is a biopic.
This is a biopic.
Oh, both of them.
Of the wonderful woman.
Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. Princess Diana Spencer.
Brilliant.
Let's play the trailer and see
who plays
what
Prince
we've just
Harry.
Said pertains to what's in the trailer. Okay, and there she is. fighting Mother Teresa for who's the best at being nice to people, attacking them there.
Fighting does not make you a hero.
It's the Spencer Family Shield.
What if I promise to be careful?
And that's a young
just
Prince Harry.
That's
a,
that.
He had very long dark hair back then, didn't he?
No sharp edges.
And there she is being
shot
up at.
In Nazi occupied.
No, it's not. No.
They do not deserve you.
You've told me this story.
Yeah, Prince Harry already knows the story. So they're telling. I mean, well, they've used an interesting meta narrative with the film where they're telling a baby Prince Harry,
yeah,
the life story of his own mother from the perspective of after she's died.
So he knew before she died that she was going to die.
He might not have believed
it.
He didn't try to stop her.
That's unbelievable.
And in a way, he becomes the villain of the piece.
And now that we know that, in real life, he becomes the real villain of
real life. Actually, he, as you said, she grew up in Nazi-occupied Germany. Mm-hmm. And if we all remember, he, at one point in his life, decides to embody that awfulness.
So he's been telling
against
us for years.
His mother by dressing up as a Nazi when he did that time.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is revealing. Didn't have to workshop the title. It was all there.
I feel bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, mm-hmm. So, well, the Wonder Woman trailer...
The Wonderful Woman.
...is actually a biopic of the Queen of Hearts.
And how do you think that she will play into Justice League?
I think she'll probably have a bigger part than we'd expect.
Because, well, the thing is, she will now have to come back from the dead.
Well, if they made her such
a
big
part
of this...
Yeah.
But that's why it'll be so interesting, because in Justice League they'll have to come up with a really interesting plot point where they have to work out how to bring her back to life. Did she fake her own death?
But it doesn't matter because it's not real.
Because it's a movie.
Yeah. They just go, oh, it doesn't matter. She's dead, but it doesn't matter. It's not real.
Suspension of disbelief.
Spencer
of disbelief.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So
I'm looking forward to it.
I am very excited
the 20th anniversary of her death, which is...
Yeah, and I guess this is just going to kick off another franchise.
The Diana Chronicles.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Have we got any listener questions this week before we get to our guest?
Oh, loads.
Good.
Let's get to the post bag out.
Have we ever given out our postal address? Must have done.
Yes,
the post bag's full.
Yeah, it's in the description of every episode
stuff. Okay, this one.
Don't drop it.
Yeah. This says, "Hey boys, Greg Wilson here."
Hey, Greg Wilson.
I have
boys
a question
here.
For the boys.
Yep.
And the boys say,
"I'm listening."
Go on. And
we do.
Yeah. And it said, "If you could remove one movie from existence, which one would it be?"
Can we?
He says we can.
Okay.
I'm going to trust him.
If we could remove... And how do we remove it? Do we have to, like, tweezers?
I think he's going to deal with the admin of it. I think he just wants us to say a movie.
Oh, no. So we remove it from existence.
I don't know that. I haven't read the rest of the letter. I'll deal with this. It's mostly just admin. I don't want to take up your valuable time. So just pick a movie and I'll do the rest. Yes.
He's actually going to do it?
Yeah.
What about a movie that's caused badness? Like wars... Is there any wars over movies, apart from ones about movies? About wars. Wars? What's the best war?
World War III.
So if we could prevent World War III by getting rid of a movie...
Mm.
Is there a movie about World War III, Andy?
World
War Z?
Edge of Tomorrow.
So we delete Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then would it repeat and come back itself?
I think that's a loophole that they've written into the sequel so that it can never be erased out of existence.
But that's admin.
That's not what you have to deal with. So it's gone.
Oh,
I like that movie.
Didn't really cause wars, did it?
I don't think so. Why did you choose
it? Why did you do that?
All right, The Mask.
Because of the dog.
Thanks for writing in, guys. Keep them coming to the postal address in the description in our podcast.
Maybe we'll get more list of questions for next time.
Oh, please.
So, after some... Beautiful music.
Who have we got coming up?
Well, coming up on the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show.
Well done,
Tim. Yeah, we have the gorgeous actor Joe Sutherland. Stick around. Listen out for those questions to get your Marvel news.
Don't touch that dial!
Hey, Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're here with our guest for
big
today.
Big old guest. Joe Sutherland.
Hey up.
Obviously, we love the film.
Thank you.
Loved it.
We just got out of the screening. Premiere went very well. How's the red carpet experience for you generally? Do you like it? Speaking to your fans, signing things?
Selfies.
I mean, a job's a job, isn't it? You know, we all have to get up and like just go into that Monday grind.
Ugh.
You know, for some of us, it's, you know, at a coal face. For some of us, it's crunching numbers at a till.
That's what they call them, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and then...
Some of us is a hit podcast, you know, like this.
Yeah,
and we
know,
have to crunch so many numbers.
Oh, God, all of the listeners.
That's it, we're givers, right? Everyone else is living, you know, in some sort of selfish capitalist bubble, whereas we, you know,
normies,
we're...
The civvies.
But I feel like, you know, we're truly like gods.
Yeah, I think creative people really are the new gods.
Mm.
Discounting gods.
Mm. I mean, the scale, I guess, between the movie star as a god and us as hit podcast. Maybe we're like the angels.
Demigods?
Oh, demigods, yeah.
Oh, seraphim?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I still thought of you as gods, but just from like another religion.
Like? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like
Hindu.
Like Greek or...
No, probably not Hindu, because they're...
One of the rubbish ones.
Yeah, like one that doesn't exist
anymore.
One
of the wrong ones.
Yeah. One that was quite rightly usurped and
rebranded.
One that
rebranded. Uses the word like pantheon, which means like they don't really know what they're doing because there's too many of them. It's like god of tables and stuff.
Before we get too bogged down in all this religion mumbo junko, we've got the poster here and we were wondering if you could maybe just explain this to the listeners, just what's going on here.
No spoilers.
Well, obviously, it's quite a conceptual piece. You know, there are many elements to represent. I wouldn't say the narrative of the film, because we're beyond that, guys.
Sure,
2017,
sure.
Who needs a story? Yeah.
Well, we've seen it, so we're definitely beyond it.
Mm.
I mean, that's what trailers are for. You know, you don't need the narrative.
Yeah, tell the story in 30 seconds. The rest of the time, just...
Concepts.
Yeah, concepts and selling Pepsi. Just gifts, giving those gifts to the great unwashed.
And literally, you were giving them out on the red carpet, cans of Pepsi, you were sort of throwing them, juggling.
Yeah, I'm that a revolutionary, if anything.
Mm.
So that itself is represented in the poster, as you can see from my headband. I don't know, like, but, you know, that's a revolutionary item. It says, you know, like, hey!
That's what it says to me.
Yeah.
No, I got that.
Like, come on!
It's yes.
Enough of that!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could barely walk past the poster without hearing it practically when I was going through.
Well, that's, yeah, because well, we've used that same technology that you get in birthday cards.
Oh, so it was really shouting at me, because yeah, I was worried it was in my head. Just the force of the
poor thing. I'm so sorry to hear that. You're actually the first to report that back to us.
Everyone else was in my own mind.
Yeah, everyone
else. There's a precedent for that.
Was fine with it.
Did you realise, Andy, you knew that it was just coming from the posters?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm very perceptive with sounds and visuals as well. So you were wearing...
Speaking of visuals.
You were wearing a headband in the poster. Mm-hmm. You are. You haven't stopped wearing a headband in the poster.
And, it's a static image.
Yeah, and you've got the Pepsi involvement as well, so which everyone knows is a sports drink. So is this a kind of like a sports movie? Is that how you describe it to the listeners?
I've often said that love is a sport, so to that degree, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a romantic sport.
Well, it's more...
I remember when you first said that, yeah. It was touching. On Graham Norton, I think it was, wasn't it? Mm. And he was sort of asking about... your personal life, and we won't enter that now. We don't have to do that, but you know, and just the back and forth of it, the competitive nature, you know, who wins in a relationship.
Oh, got a constant struggle, Olympic endeavor. Mm. I'm sorry, that's the tagline to the film. Constantly on, sell. But no, back to the art. Love is a sport, and it requires, stretching and appropriate socks. So, as you can see, I'm also wearing those.
On the poster, with the little hearts on them.
Yeah, but the hearts are upside down so that you can only see them the right way up when,
spades without stalks on cards.
Yeah, but obviously red and throbbing.
On a static image again, that is... I mean, is that one of those sort of hologram things that you've done there where...
Yeah.
When you sort of walk past...
I guess, yeah, classic... Yeah. Birthday card technology.
Yes, I love it when they do that in birthday cards. Mm. Throbbing socks.
It's how you tell someone you care, I think.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the money was put into the advertising campaign of this movie to get the holograms and
well, I think Pepsi did quite a lot of work.
Yeah, we didn't spend a penny.
So did they contribute to the actual budget of the movie or just the advertising campaign?
Oh, no, the whole thing.
Yeah, oh, good. So what was the budget on this movie?
Oh, God. I'm not a numbers guy myself.
No, he's not a normie. Remember, Andy? He's not crunching numbers.
Oh, God. I'm going to say high.
That is high.
High budget.
No, it certainly seems it. I mean, there's a lot of CGI was that just you couldn't do your own stunts or...?
I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You know, like I could, but...
Yeah, on the day you just sort of think, stay on my trailer.
Yeah, no, Feng Shui was wrong. I had to work on that, so sent someone else out.
What's your trailer like?
It's at the moment, it's very, very muted. I'm very into shades
of... Soundproof, you mean?
Sorry. No, obviously, I mean aesthetically and tonally. God, who brought
it? Oh,
yeah, yeah. I'm very into a shade known as millennial pink.
Oh, describe that.
So it's like a kind of, if you could bleach coral, but like for the betterment of the world, rather than, you know, the other kind.
Like if Nicki Minaj's clothes ran in the wash, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. God, great coinage. I like to alternate between that and a kind of like a dentistry green.
That is a good
That's
match.
Very nice.
Mm. And what do these colours sound like?
Well, they're muted, aren't they? So they wouldn't be very loud.
That's true. They're just quite muffled.
Yeah.
They still have a sound. Obviously, they're very resonant colours, but it's like that sound is coming from within. You know, like you've stuffed it in a duffel bag, and you know it's in the boot of your car.
Yeah.
And you're driving quite fast.
I mean, we've basically gone through the whole colour scheme of the movie as I saw it. It was the red, blues and whites of Pepsi. And then just there was an overshadowing of millennial pink and dentistry green
yeah.
That really kind of... It was like the fun half of the movie, and then when things started going wrong, they came out with the millennial pink and the dentistry greens.
The
and it was...
secondaries.
So, Lars, if you could give a quick synopsis of the movie for the listener, how it goes from that part where everything's happy and then
the turning point.
The turning points.
I mean, I suppose it, you know, like any adventure, it starts with the sounding of a gun. But that
all
gun,
the best adventures
to start the race, like.
Yeah, but it's a race of the mind. So, but it is a gunshot that ricochets within the protagonist's skull cavity, and from that point on, really, he or she, you know, actually never self-identifies.
So progressive.
Thanks. And so from that point on, they are at it. They are sporting. And obviously, it's through the game that the challenges arise. But
the
I think
game of it, love.
The game of love,
sport of love.
Because you know, when one is preparing for love, it's kind of plain sailing. You know what you've got to do. You've got to stretch.
Yeah.
You've got to warm up, cool down.
So obviously, you play the main character in this movie. So you're the one racing for love. Who played opposite you in this movie? If you want to tell the listeners,
it was Jennifer.
Love Hewitt. She has love in her name. I mean, it seems like an obvious choice.
I know, crass, if anything. Yeah. I didn't have a part in casting.
It was heavy-handed, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was disappointing to have her, you know, present at any time.
Because she's not very nice, or you didn't get on, or...
Oh, I don't know. I just decided I wasn't going to speak to her, so... You know, to then have her there, it's like, well, now I'm going to have to be quiet. It's not how I like to work.
Yeah.
So
we like to speak on set and film speaking. And
Yes, I like, you know, especially when it comes to a point in the script where I have to express words. I really do enjoy.
That's what you're known for, I think, as well. And that's what the viewer wants to see from you is your words, your voice.
Your timbre.
I mean, you're known in the industry as the voice, I think. There it is, that classic timbre is how I pronounce it, but that's because I'm fluent in French.
Ah, moi too.
With the plot, obviously, it's about... I mean, I like to see that all of life is training for that one moment where you meet your true love, in this case, Jennifer loves Hewitt. So yeah, in terms of that, what that obviously leads to the change in the colour scheme and everything conceptually in the movie.
Yeah, because of the many deaths. which in that in itself was kind of, that was, I think, a genius contrast. Obviously, we've been living in, you know, this fantastic...
Pepsi world,
you know, where there were no wars. But then... what one would usually associate those kind of bold, vibrant colours with, you know, warfare or greedy, you know, capitalism. So we just wanted to subvert that. And we associated those colours with peace and Pepsi. And after that, you know, obviously there's, I mean, you know, no spoilers, but somewhere in the region of 10 million deaths. And we wanted to represent that with very calm colours, because actually...
But it's, I mean, it's not a spoiler to say the deaths, because obviously the pile of bodies is on the poster.
True. Sense, sorry.
Know, don't, yeah, it's not.
I always forget to look down past my own visage.
It's fine. Yeah. Well, you're also known in the industry as the face, so it's also.
It's true. I am. I don't know if your listeners can hear, but I am arrestingly beautiful.
Yeah, the face, the voice, the abs. I think is the holy trinity, isn't it?
Oh God, are you okay? Yeah.
That's the sound of a washboard. Obviously, listeners will know.
So I've just been so busy on this press tour, I had to bring my own. Laundry, but never my own equipment because I, you know, my body is a tool of cleanliness.
You're also known as the tool, I think, as well.
Hey, that was a different me.
Oh, that was okay, I'm not that guy anymore. Before rehab, I understand that's a different part of your career.
I thought that was. I mean, I sent a contract in advance. I thought we weren't going to.
No, I know it's on the you know the topics that we weren't supposed to. Cover.
Also, Tim's not very good at reading, so it might have passed him by.
Clearly.
Do you remember that time that I got you a copy of Harry Potter for your birthday and you just started crying?
Well, yeah, because that's
it's
when
a
I
sad
found,
story.
It reminded me of when I found out that I couldn't read.
When did you find out? Sorry, Joe.
It was when the first Harry Potter book came out, because I was so excited thinking, oh, I can't wait to read this. And then I went out and bought it, and that's when it dawned on me.
Of course, you started your career in the Harry Potter franchise as an extra. What was that experience like on set?
Being an extra, obviously.
You still friends with Dan?
You ever friends with Dan?
Well, I was legally bound to not speak about this for a good 10 years, but those times have passed, so...
Let's go.
And it was a good 10 years, wasn't it, from what I understand?
Lucrative, if anything.
Yeah.
Well, we... There's a tradition in truly peaceful cultures whereby great colleagues will kind of transcend that relationship, and basically it's something you do with your toes. Oh my God, I can't believe
that. Okay, I've read about this.
Yeah.
Go on.
You know,
you might not know about Zandy, but it's, yeah. It's...
At first it's uncomfortable. But you can't, you know, you ease into it, and he was well versed in this practice. I was so surprised, you know, a boy of just 12, knowing how to.
How old were you at the time?
Also 12.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he famously loves feet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word for somebody who loves feet, because obviously the Latin would be ped. So I guess he's a pedophile. You know, it's that sort of thing.
It's that ballpark.
Yeah.
It's an ancient practice.
The Greeks used to. So, yeah. And you see, well, you sort of mesh the toes, kind of like interlock.
That's one of the many moves. And, you know, there's a lot of interlocking, a lot of kind of caressing. And but you also have to ensure that by the end of the ceremony, one of you has completely smashed every single bone in all 5 to 6 toes on your left foot.
Because you have 6 toes on your foot, and obviously that's...
I mean, I'm not contractually obliged to admit to any of my...
Okay, it's fine. I mean, I've freeze-framed the movie. I saw a couple of...
Okay, then I'll be on call to the retouchers quite soon. But, I'm not ashamed to say it. I was the breaker in that meshing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that was unusual because, of course, he was the one with more power.
Yeah.
But this is how many have reinterpreted this ceremony, that actually that's how you enmesh as friends, is if the one with more power in your co-working relationship actually submits to having those
right
numerous toes just destroyed.
Shattered, yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of casting for this current movie, was your relationship with Dan Radcliffe the reason you were able to get Rupert Grint to agree to this movie?
It was something like that, I believe. Yeah, I think, you know, he was hungry. Yeah. So it was...
I mean, he would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
It was less a case of... you know, going via Dan to get Rupert, and more like Dan contacting me to say...
Rupert needs a job.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, really worried for his...
Take him off my hands.
For some reason, he's doing a TV version of Snatch.
Oh, who asked for that?
Yeah, I don't know what that
I mean, is. It was a movie. That was the better thing.
Yeah.
Movies are better. We know movies are
We know
TV.
Movies, like, on, if there was, like, a scale, and, like, movies was on one side, and TV was on the other, the scale would blow up.
I'd take...
TV. It'd just blow up.
It'd blow up.
We know scales.
Which one is one heavier because it's better?
Yeah.
Oh, which one's better?
Which do you think?
So it goes through the floor.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
TV pings up and
then the house explodes.
Out. Yeah, the house.
Okay. Mm. Because the TV's probably hit like a main electrical artery.
Oh,
yeah.
You're thinking it's an actual frame. TV.
Oh,
scale.
Yeah.
No, the concept of TV is
as embodied by. Perhaps a physical TV.
Oh, you're that literal, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
okay.
Interesting. That's interesting.
That's fine if you want to view it in that way. It's...
I mean, I have a first class degree in fine art, so I think I'm well qualified to...
Well, we've all got one of them. If this podcast isn't fine art, what is it?
I mean, it's not TV.
Thank fuck.
Thank God for that. We wouldn't be doing it if it was.
Any pranks on set?
Oh, that's a good question. Why have we never asked that before?
Yeah, we should ask that
more.
Well, I am known as a bit of a prankster sometimes.
The voice, the face, the tool, the prankster.
The abs.
The abs, of course.
Finishing off a few socks there. Well, there was the time, for instance, because I'm such a great impressionist...
I mean, we'll let you finish the story, but we might want to press you for some of those a little bit later on. But,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to engage with Jennifer Love Hewitt. You know, I didn't really want her around. So I pulled a great prank where I dressed myself up like an undertaker. And I went to her...
The Undertaker?
No.
Okay.
Just, you know, like a local one from a
generic.
Co-op. And I went to the door of her trailer. I'd also manipulated my face without the use of prosthetics. That's how talented I am.
You have the face. The man of the face of many faces.
The man of the face of many faces. That's your full title.
The man of the face of a thousand faces.
That's actually the name of the sequel.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, shit. Spoiler. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to get so sued. it's fine. I'm insanely rich.
For listeners that missed that, you did just tell them the title of the movie, which was
of the sequel.
Of the sequel. So that's that's not. But we'll
yeah.
Get,
but
we'll get
I
to,
mean, everybody.
Yeah, we'll get. To
you know, everybody knows the name of this film because of, you know, they are alive, like they're awake in today's culture.
Yeah. It's on the name.
For those that have missed it, it is.
Is the boy of many childhoods who has ran such a distance to become the Olympian of many, many boys.
And it's weird that the tagline's far shorter than that as well. The
tagline's literally two words and you've gone, I wonder if you want, is that final? You know, I mean, we have seen...
Well, they've printed the posters.
Sure, and the film.
Did someone get them mixed up, get them the wrong way around? Because that can happen.
And we have to fit the name of the movie in the title of the podcast episode. So I wonder if
that's what we're most concerned about.
Maybe a shorthand you used on set or a working title that...
Oh, well, yeah, we just said the bee.
Oh, the bee.
As in the insect.
No, just the bee, like the letter bee.
Oh, the boy of the house is the bee,
Pranks on set.
Sorry.
Pranks on set. So I'm dressed as a standard
undertaker.
Co-op undertaker from, you know, any local small piece of shit town.
And
got scum. I approach the door of the trailer dressed as this undertaker and I knock. And Jennifer doesn't open. She's too good for that. But her assistant does. And I tell her with perfect diction that... oh my God, this is so funny. I tell her that her six dogs and entire staff of tennis coaches and masseuse and...
Oh, because she is obviously married to Leighton Hewitt, the tennis player. And in fact, I mean, I understand that her vows was just that she got it wrong when she was changing her surname during the vows. That Jennifer loves Hewitt and meaning her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously her maiden name is Hudson. The prank.
She's a piece of work, basically. Oh, so
such
difficult. I explained how these.
No, the insect.
I explained that six dogs, her tennis coach, her team of masseuse, and pastry chefs. And gardeners and hedge clippers. It's a different staff to the guard. If you ever become, you know, as successful as people of my ilk, you have to. Oh my, this is so important. You have to get a separate hedge clipper. I mean, it's like a necessity. It's like oxygen.
Oh,
you can't even
separate to the gardener. You mean?
Yes, because it's just a different skill set. How can you expect someone who spends all of their time...
I mean, there's no crossover in that Venn diagram.
No.
In those skills.
No, they are quite literally perpendicular viewpoints, okay? Your main gardener is looking down at the grass. And the hedge clipper needs to spend all his time looking up at the hedge.
That's where it is.
So the prank.
How do they deal with... you know, flowers and stuff? Because they go straight up.
Oh, I just get
trees,
them shipped in...
They don't get maintained. They just, you put them in.
No, as soon as they're dead, new ones have right. In fact, already arrived. I never even see them die. I will never, ever witness death. I won't even die. I'm that rich. But, which brings me back to this prank, because who is not rich enough to avoid death? Jennifer! So I'm stood there, dressed as the Undertaker, and I explain that the gardener...
So it is the Undertaker.
Well, no,
oh,
I'm re-entering the narrative of this story.
I'm so sorry. Oh, the aforementioned Undertaker.
Yes, the aforementioned... Oh, my goodness.
The royal the Undertaker.
And I explained that these dogs, the tennis coach, the masseuse, the gardener and the hedge cutter.
Different people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very important. As well as her entire family, husband, children, and all loved ones, everyone she's ever met. I said that they'd been wiped out in a nuclear explosion.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, look, I can prove it because my hands are a bit dirty.
Oh, yeah. No.
And that's what
I'd like authentically
does.
Dirtied my hands to make
real
it.
Real dirt?
Yeah, the actual, like, so well, you know, I mean, I got it from the props department, but it's very convincing. It's just crushed.
CGI?
No. It's actually, no, because this was a very pared down. I know, obviously, all the sets and most of the actors were CGI in this production. But
that's where the Pepsi money went, right?
Mm-hmm. But there were many aspects where we actually really took it back, you know, really pared down.
That's cool. Yeah,
so, you know, things such as representing dirt. We obviously used the classic cinematic technique of crushing gunpowder into velvet and shredding that velvet through, you know, one of these sort of Ottolenghi branded, like pasta makers.
Pavements? Were the pavements real?
Interesting you should ask. They were, the slabs atop were real, but the sort of supporting underground, because we didn't want to use real ground.
The foundations were CGI.
Yeah, the foundations are CGI, but the slabs themselves were real. They were just held up by generated imagery.
Right. So it's like hybrid effects. It's nice. It's nice. Mashing the old with the new. That's what we like to see in movies.
But so this prank, oh my God, it was so funny. She could not stop crying. She was just like, she didn't return to set for 2 weeks.
Wow. I bet you were so pleased.
Oh, it was so great. It cost the production approx $30 million.
Because you had to be CGI'd in during those 2 weeks. Yeah.
But it cost you know, having to put up with her, so for a couple of weeks. It's
exactly.
Pretty good
bargain.
Prank. Yeah. Did you get a peek into her trailer at all? What sort of
vibe? Oh no, I looked the other way. I didn't want to be at all associated.
That's fair enough.
Who's the most famous person in your phone book?
Dish,
please.
I actually don't carry a phone. I'm very zen.
That's so now.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't even have like an Uber account because I just think to be.
We have a driver, I assume.
Well, yeah. So Max here, he has a car and an Uber account.
Oh, okay. Covers all bases.
Yeah. So, for instance, if I fall out with him.
Is he an Uber driver?
No. He's my driver. But sometimes if
You're not around.
No, it's more if I don't want to share a car with him, he'll just order a separate Uber.
Just in case you do want him to take you home later.
Yeah, okay, pretty much.
But he has to get there in an Uber, but not in his car.
Well, so what will happen is, because obviously the car we have is, oh God, it's gorgeous. It's like a sea breeze, like grey. Like, it's not the colour of the sea. It's like the colour of that foamy, flecky stuff on top. Very
so
rare.
So gorgeous.
So that's the car we have. and obviously that's the one I want to be in at all times. Yeah. But if I don't want Max in
there, you don't want him.
We order the Uber.
Who drives you?
Well, we just use the Uber driver.
And then Max drives the Uber driver's car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you don't have any famous people in your phone. I'm going to defer the question to Tim. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
In my phone book?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Andy's in my phone book.
I was hoping you were going to say that. Yeah.
That's not true. I know a lot more famous people than Andy, but it's not about me. Who's the most famous in yours?
Oh, it's not you.
Okay. Well, you could have said it was me.
I'm not a liar. I'm here to tell the truth. This is why I have my own podcast.
I did want to ask you one question, Joe. Joe Sutherland, any relation to Kiefer or Donald? I mean, if it's one, it's both. But
brothers, spiritual and biological.
So you're Kiefer's brother and Donald's brother?
Yeah.
Biologically?
Yeah. Obviously, like, different mums.
And dads. Because Donald is Kiefer's dad.
Hey, what they did behind closed doors is their business.
Scotland's a very
progressive
place.
It's an open
place,
secret, if you can call it a secret.
Well, it's not. I want to hear.
I mean, if that's a secret, it's very poorly kept. It's not really behind closed doors.
Hey, I don't read the tabloids. I live in a very zen space, so this is new information to me.
What is the biggest media publication in the zen space?
That would be Om.
Ah.
The sound of Om.
So it's not written down or online, it's just there.
No, it's just constantly reverberating.
And what do you think is its most groundbreaking piece of investigative journalism?
Well, it was actually the first to break the story of Pippa Middleton's arse at the wedding.
Oh.
And no one had paid any attention until... Depends on your mood at the time. I'm very, you know.
Oh, no, I think I saw the headline because it had Om and then a picture of her ass and then nom nom.
Well, it did. It proceeded. It was Om, g, look at.
That was on the back page.
So, you know, like with the press association, when their stories break and the strap line is like PA colon, then headline. That's often the case with Om. Prefaced with OM.
G.
And then the strapline.
Or FG if it's a particularly scandalous story.
That's a Finnish brand of tantric meditation.
Omph,
yeah.
Okay. Back to the movie. Just for the listener, the director, obviously, is this someone you worked with before? Is this a new relationship?
Long time collaborator. Oh, Patsy Kensett.
Phenomenal.
When you say collaborator
director.
In the sense that she's directed your projects before, or you work with her in other capacities?
You know, we've made films, cakes.
She's made films?
Cakes.
And
just, you know, all sorts of creative, it's like banter, really. You know, we're essentially just like a couple of lads. And we just, you know, we toss it back and forth. An idea here, like an inspiration there. And, you know, a breakdown here and there. But we just, we're really there for each other.
So who approached who for this project?
And who had the breakdown?
And who made the cake?
And was it a good cake?
It was vegan, obvs. So no, it was not a good cake. Mm-hmm. That was Patsy that made that.
I need meat in my cake.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, meatless.
Beef cake. That's your favourite cake.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I work with you, Andy, because that's your...
That's my nickname for it.
Yes. I call Andy a beef cake.
Deserved.
Not to his face or ever out loud or in my head, but, you know.
He sends me little notes with it on it. Beef cake, missing you, blah, blah, blah. The impressions that we heard so much about.
Yeah.
We can't let them slide. What are your impressions?
I mean, I've done a couple on the show before, but I don't want to hog the limelight. This is not, you know.
Yeah. Okay, who did you do? Just so I don't step on your toes.
Oh, sure. Well, I've done Walken a couple of times. Obviously, it's a very standard Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Ryan Walken or Paul Walken. Mm-hmm. Christopher. I couldn't do the other two. Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, do a good Sly.
The Fonz, which is very similar.
Very similar. Shatner, similar.
Did I do Shatner?
I don't know.
No, I didn't do Shatner. Okay, I can't do Shatner.
Okay.
But yeah, that's about it. So what were the... What's in your bank?
Nadine Coyle.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Girls Aloud.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Right, another classic. I mean, you always see that on Spitting Image, I remember, back in the day. Can we hear a little bit of that?
I'll just have to find the zone.
Sure, have you got a key phrase that helps you get into it?
My name's Nadine Coyle. I'm the best singer in the group. And if you asked her, because the key thing about Nadine is she puts the letter Y before every vowel.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like...
So how would she say Tim Goodings?
She'd say, like, Tim Goodings.
So she sounds almost Tim like Norwegian Goodings. In many ways.
Or like Stephen Hawking.
A
Norwegian Stephen Hawking via Belfast.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Who...
What would it sound like if Nadine Coyle was talking to Christopher Walken? Who else?
Well, you never know, because she does actually have an Irish bar... just on the outskirts of Hollywood. And I'm sure he still frequents the wood.
Because obviously you shun Hollywood, so yeah.
As you called it, indies only.
Unless Pepsi comes along, obviously.
And if they're funding it, you know, you got.
But this was truly independent because it was only funded by Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
One company, independent. Exactly. Yeah, that's great. And Patsy Kensit, obviously, she's a very indie director, very gritty.
Well, she's certainly off grid.
Yeah, a lot, as you said, some practical effects used, some CGI, but that's just the modern world.
So I heard a rumor.
Oh.
And like, I just want to get to the bottom of this because, I mean, I don't want to cause any problems either, but I heard a rumor.
Let's get out in the open, sure.
That you are more of a Coke man.
Oh, no.
Care to comment?
I mean, what I would say is that Pepsi is a very important company who have been very close to my heart for many years, and they support many good causes around the world and have been known to, you know, really solve conflicts and ease revolutionary tensions. And therefore, I believe that we should all be behind the brand and never, ever doubt their ulterior or sort of exterior or even interior motives.
And what about Pepsi Max?
Pepsi Max is a delicious brand, which has also been an integral part of many positive social changes throughout the world. And, you know, every time I open one and I press the can to my forehead, I feel refreshed. And also,
what about Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi is a delicious brand which has provided many social goods to this world and has ensured that, you know, government after another has always stayed on the right side of history and aided its people to progress to a better future.
What about Pepsi Light?
Pepsi Light is a delicious brand that has always ensured that the people being oppressed by a previous soft drinks brand are liberated and set free with enough caffeinated energy to get back to the workforce.
Pepsi Max Cherry?
Or Pepsi Kensit?
I don't believe either of those exist.
So, I mean, I know we're here to talk movies, and scripts are a very big part of movies, but that sounded scripted. I'm not convinced that you
just
believe
all
of that.
Drinking a Coke when he said it.
Which is amazing that you can drink and speak at the same time. I have not seen that done before.
Well, I'm a known ventriloquist down under.
Yeah, but you have a Nadine Coyle puppet that you use as part of your
yeah,
act.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love that.
Thanks.
We've been stalled. What other impressions could you do again?
Oh, so obs Nadine and...
I heard you do a pretty good Dan Radcliffe, considering you spent a lot of time with him and his toes.
Thing is, to truly embody
is that
Dan...
more of a...
It's a very visual one because Dan's what
we'll do
I
it anyway.
Well, let's see if it's audible. Dan's what I call a neck actor. So some people act from the neck up, some people act from the neck down.
Which
Dan
are you?
Really only acts in the neck.
In the neck. Oh, so neither up or down.
Yeah. So it's really a lot of flexing and you know, it's grimacing. Tendons popping out. So yes. I don't know. Maybe if I stroke the microphone with a tendon, you might get some of that impression.
Oh, wow, it's like he's here. Oh, good.
See, I think the problem is, though, you may have only seen Dan Radcliffe in Swiss Army Man, where he plays a dead man, and maybe that's why that you thought his acting was confined.
Well, he was on the set of Harry Potter, so you probably saw
As him. An extra. Were you in many extra scenes with Dan Radcliffe?
I was in every scene.
Every scene as an extra?
I was the wand.
Well, that's impressive. CGI.
Yeah, no, I'm just an impressionist.
You kept your figure very well as well.
Okay, all right. Do us an impression of the wand. That's spot on.
I don't know. I mean, okay. It's decent.
Sorry, that was more of a cherry rather than a willow.
Can you compete with that, Tim?
Okay, just let me get into it, okay. Which scene?
The one where the wand kills Dumbledore.
There's quite a few wands.
Here's a wand.
The one that killed Dumbledore.
Andy, I'm doing my impression. Don't interrupt.
It's not very
I can't
good.
Hear it.
I can't tell.
All right, ready?
Yeah, that's not as good.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I need to practice.
It was more of a like a spoon.
Yeah. Well, I think I was thinking of a different wand, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, it wasn't clear because I have a feeling it was Draco Malfoy's wand.
Oh, okay.
Actually, in case they thought you meant a different Malfoy.
I mean, this is why you're the multimillionaire film star. This is why Tim's a piece of shit.
Thank you.
Well, that's not why. I just happen to be a piece of shit. So, back to the film. What was your sort of... any particular day of shooting that really stands out? Any, you know... particular scenes that you're really proud of in the movie? Was it just the 2 weeks when Jennifer Loves Hewitt wasn't there?
Well, I managed to have it written into my contract that she and I would never have to actually meet on set.
Oh, good,
so
okay.
Most of the time I was filming opposite...
you know
when they get like a tennis ball and they put some googly eyes on it and it's really cute and then they stab a stick into where its neck would be? So I was just able to imagine that was her.
Okay, so you got a giant tennis ball and just shaped it into a woman or...
No, just a regular tennis ball. And I actually asked if I could do the stabbing of the ball.
Mm. And that made it in as well, which is... You didn't CG her in for that scene, which I thought was interesting. It's visibly just a tennis ball in the stabby scene.
Yeah, but I think it's not the subject of the stabbing that is, you know, at the forefront of
it's
that. It's the action.
The perpetrator, which is, of course... Joe Sutherland.
Yeah. Moi.
Ah, more French. Any other questions, Amy?
Who would you say is the... this is a love story between your character and Jennifer Loves Hewitt's character. Who would you say is the antagonist in this picture?
Is it love? Or is it sport?
It's got to be either love or Rupert Grint.
Or
come
Coca-Cola.
On.
No, you were right. It's sport.
Any in particular, or just the general
badminton?
No, it's the spirit of sport, spirit.
Because love should be the only sport, is the message that I got from it.
Or at least it should be the only one where we are competitive. All of the others should be
fun. Right. And do you think that love should be in the Olympics next time?
Yes. And in fact, that's why this week I am launching my campaign. I've been in talks with Vary Black, Nicola Sturgeon, even Theresa May.
are these movie stars? I don't think I know who they are.
I don't know. I was just given a list. And we're launching a campaign to get it.
What's the name of the campaign?
It's called, get this, Love Winds Everyone Up. So it should be a sport in the Olympics.
We got an acronym for
Campaign 2017.
Even though the next Olympics obviously isn't...
Yeah, but the campaign is now.
And will it continue into the Olympics or will it stop?
Just stop it at the end of this year. Just hope that people remember.
Yeah, I think budget currently takes us to about October.
And is that more with the Pepsi money?
No, that's self-funded.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
You know, as much as I could bear to part with.
Will Pepsi be involved in the sequel that we talked about earlier?
Which, of course, we know is the man with the face of 1,000 faces. And are you the titular man in that you are playing the same character? It's your face again?
Well, it is only natural that the boy of the first film would grow into the man. So
okay, and you're still...
I haven't decided. It could be anyone, really. I'm pitching for... maybe Emma Watson. Okay, like why do we? You know, we need to start. Yeah, we need to start thinking. You know, like I'm campaigning for a female doctor in my local hospital. Let's start shifting these definitions.
Yeah, because at the moment, doctor means man. We need to redefine that word.
Yeah.
Doctress, I guess.
Doctress.
True.
Or doctorina.
I mean, I think we solved the problem there.
Call it a doctorina.
Or doctor, but an A instead of ER.
Although if you're in ER, then that could be confusing if you just have an A. And also it's spelled OR. But that is also the name of a place in a hospital. That's the operating room. So if you have the emergency room and the operating room, just with the letter A above, which might just mean
it's
accident.
Really not ER. I thought to doct was to
the
treat.
Verb, yeah, tree, yeah. Yeah, like a doctor's leave. Okay, so now we understand that obviously we saw the film, we really enjoyed the the whole thing, the score was beautiful.
I'm still crying. I've been crying this whole time.
Yeah, I'm still laughing.
See, it brings something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Andy. That's everyone. But yeah, what I particularly liked was the ending theme during the credits. It was very moving. And it, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that was your voice singing. And did you actually write the song as well?
I did.
Oh, wow, that's brilliant. I mean, there was too much to ask. Could we hear a bit of that now? A little preview for the listener.
Oh, play us out.
If you need any accompaniment, please, just let us know. Obviously, we've seen it, so
you know all the parts and the harmonies, I'm sure. You know what? I've been asked this at every stop of this press tour, and for you guys, I'll say yes.
Oh, wow. That's how
just
we get
like
there.
I did for everyone else.
Oh, that's special.
That's special.
That's special. Do you want me to? It was a very guitar-led song, am I right?
Are you right?
I don't know. I'm right in saying it's a very guitar-led song.
Well, I mean, it was a vocally led song.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Of course, yes.
It was a guitar accompanied song.
Sure.
Now, of course, the movie,
the B.
The title of the song, is that also the B, or is it the B flat?
No, it was Keep Running for Love.
Keep Running for Love.
Keep Running for Love.
That's wonderful. Just let me know when to come in if you need me or signal.
Keep running for love. First you must tear to the starting line, and then take your stance. You know that funny stance they do when they sort of are kneeling down, but they've got one knee up to the sky.
Sky.
Then you gotta raise your bum when you hear a bleep. Your fingers are braced, they are long, and your palms are not touching the floor that your feet are touching, 'cause that would be gross. So when comes the time that you must launch away, when the gun shoots.
If you need me to do the sound of the gun, just let me know.
Well,
run.
Keep running for love.
One more time.
Keep running for love. For love. For love. That was beautiful, guys.
That was wonderful. Thanks, Joe.
Is the soundtrack out yet?
OST?
OST?
Yep, that's available
Spotify?
On SoundCloud.
SoundCloud?
Mm-hmm.
Bandcamp. iTunes.
Amazon Prime Music?
Amazon, yes. iTunes, no, they're Coke affiliated.
Oh, that's fair.
Oh,
that
Christ,
is fair.
These bastards. All right, well, yeah, thanks very much, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Speaking to you. Best of luck with the release, full release.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.